We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Green Energy's Deep Sea Dilemma. Let's talk about it. Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Good morning. Copper, lithium, cobalt, all metals needed for the green energy transition for things like car batteries and wind turbine magnets. Companies are now turning to the sea for that material worth trillions of dollars. Daniel Babin is a researcher at Columbia University's Lamont-Doherty Earth Observatory.
There's actually three different kinds of deposits that people are interested in. There's crusts that form on seamounts. There's mid-ocean ridge sulfide deposits. And then there's these nodules, which are kind of like balls, grapefruit-sized, fist-sized nodules that sit unattached on the seafloor. In the Clarion-Clipperton Fracture Zone, this is a region in between California and Hawaii in the Pacific Ocean, 3,000, 5,000-ish meters water depth. Something like 30 billion tons of nodules worth tens of trillions. And it's like some, you know, less than 1% or 1% of the entire ocean, right? So the volume of material is gargantuan, like unimaginable. And that's, you know, why some people say it's inevitable that people will go after this.
But environmentalists fear mining could wreck the Earth's deep sea wilderness. Norway has just proposed the exploration of its waters, and I caught up with Andreas Bjelland Eriksen, Norway's Minister for Energy and Petroleum, and asked him how he thinks the benefits can outweigh the risks.
So what we propose now is to open up for exploration and knowledge gathering activities. We're still quite a distance off actually being able to extract these resources. And we need a step-by-step approach before we can go there. But we know that the world will need a lot of minerals going forward in the green shift. We know that the current value chains are challenging, controlled by a few non-Western states. So this is a great potential that we want to look into.
Now, obviously, you're still at the exploration stage, but we did have the European Academy Science Advisory Council, and they've called for a complete moratorium on deep sea mining. I mean, how does the government respond to their assertion that deep sea mining is just not necessary for green energy's transition?
I agree with the fact that we do not, per today, have the technology, the know-how, the knowledge of how deep sea mining can be conducted in a safe and profitable manner. But I'm not agreeing with the perspective that we shouldn't look into whether or not it is possible to do this. And it's simply because of the amount of minerals that we're going to need to be successful in the green shift. Today, we know that the value chains are challenging, so we need to look into the extra resource potential that is on the Norwegian continental shelf. And that is not to say that it's going to be possible to do this in practice. We agree that we cannot start mining right now, but we can start with looking into the potential.
Andreas Bjelland Eriksen, Norway's Minister for Energy and Petroleum, thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. Pakistan's central bank raised its benchmark interest rate by 1% and now sits at 22%. And it's the latest attempt by Pakistan to convince the International Monetary Fund to bail it out. And the deadline for that meeting is in the terms is this Friday. Former Audi boss Rupert Stadler has been given a suspended sentence of just over a year by a German court in the 2015 diesel emissions scandal. He's the first former Volkswagen board member to receive such a sentence, and he was also fined $1.2 million. Captagon is a highly addictive drug that has ravaged the Middle East in recent years. Now, a joint investigation by BBC News Arabic and the investigative journalism network OCCRP has revealed new links between this multi-billion dollar drug trade and leading members of the Syrian regime. The BBC's Amir Nadir reports.
On the border between Jordan and Syria, the Jordanian army is trying to stop drug traffickers entering the country.
They are smugglers. Our ground forces were informed and were ready for them.
They fired directly at them, forcing them to retreat.
The smugglers are trying to bring a drug called Captagon into Jordan. This highly addictive amphetamine-like pill has flooded the Middle East, affecting people like Yasser.
I started taking Captagon and my life started to fall apart. I started hanging out with people who take this thing. You work, you live without food, so the body is a wreck. My weight dropped to 53 kilos.
We have uncovered links between the trade in Captagon and the Syrian regime. We spoke to a drug dealer in Jordan who had been selling Captagon.
Since 2018, there has been a big increase. It's become widely available, incredibly plentiful. The goods come from Syria. I have heard that Maher al-Assad, Bashar al-Assad's brother, the commander of the 4th Division, is the one who is responsible for the Captagon selling all over Syria.
But is there any evidence this is true? The crucial link came following the seizure of nearly $2 billion worth of Captagon in 2021. It was suspected of being linked to a Lebanese businessman. He was jailed for 7 years for Captagon trafficking. The judge in the trial told us how the businessman said he was working to in fact stop the trade alongside an elite Syrian army unit, the 4th Division, led by President Assad's brother, Meher al-Assad. His explanation for messages about Captagon on his phone.
He said he was collaborating with the 4th Division to control the smuggling, the narcotics smuggling.
He even presented proof.
An ID card issued by the 4th Division.
In confidential court records, we found WhatsApp messages the businessman sent to someone he called the boss in Syria. They discussed how to move so-called goods we believe to be Captagon.
Could you kindly renew the ID cards for the guys I sent you?
The boss had what's known as a golden phone number. This former Syrian army officer explained what it is.
This is not a number that an ordinary person can get. A golden number. Especially if a number is repeated 5 or 6 times. I mean, we are talking about Bashar al-Assad's level in the Republican Palace or commanders with high influence.
We believe the number belongs to a senior Syrian army officer called Ghassan Bilal. He's second in command in the 4th Division and is understood to run its powerful security bureau. He didn't respond to the BBC's questions. The Syrian government has previously denied any involvement in drug trafficking. It has promised to do more to tackle the trade in order to be allowed back into the Arab League. Joel Rayburn, former US envoy to Syria, is sceptical of their commitment.
You can deal with Assad to try to get him to curtail the flow of Captagon. All of it, though, is just trying to contract with the arsonist to put out the fire.
Amir Nadir reporting. And finally, imagine you were a year away from retirement and then suddenly the government says you need to reduce your age by 1 or even 2 years to align with international standards. Well, that's what's happening in South Korea, where they had their own age system. Babies were considered 1 year old at birth and age increased annually on New Year's Day rather than on their actual birthday. Well, I guess one way to reverse age. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.